Today, for those of you taking notes, seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. And we're going to take this from something familiar in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. I want to primarily hone on that. But of course, this is the faith chapter for the patriarchs and the saints of the past, how they walked by the same principle, by the same how we walk today as well. But something interesting in verse 27 says here, by faith, that is Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's what I really want to hone into. He endured to the end in his ministry. We know his ministry because it's recorded so well. But that was the principle moving in his life. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. That principle of how we walk is exactly still the same today, and it doesn't change. God doesn't change, and his word does not change. And you are today here seeking the one who outwardly is invisible. And that, of course, is the huge problem and controversy of the Christian faith. I will believe in God if you show me. I will believe in God if he reveals himself. I will believe in God if you do that miracle. They said exactly the same to Jesus. We'll believe, come down from that cross. And so we are, in a sense, a laughingstock. Because we believe in something that is invisible outwardly to the eye. And that principle that one walks by is no different. They were even laughing and jeering at Noah building the ark, seeing by faith. And that is what must motivate us, because if we do not see God, who is the ultimate to our faith, you are not going to stand, you are not going to endure in this walk. And that is why many go back, because they are not really seeing the Lord. They are seeing religion, or they're seeing a denomination, or they are seeing a minister, or they're seeing an organization, but they ain't seeing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is absolutely essential that your eyes are fixed, the same as Moses, upon the Lord. Now that might sound a bit elementary, but through the years, it is so easy to start to look at something else. And that's the problem. And Moses had a vision of God. That is why he endured and he stayed with it. Because unless you have a vision of God, you are not really going to understand what this is all about, even what this walk is about. You don't have to turn to it, but in Habakkuk 2 and verse 3, which we know very well here, in Habakkuk 2 verse 3, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it." And that is the principle that every saint walks by, and all the patriarchs and Moses, including himself. Now, the idea of to tarry is also where we get this idea of patience. It implies one who is strong, able to withstand all assaults and trials. That is what you tarry. That is the patience. That is what we wait. So that though it tarries, and it will come, in the meantime, there are trials and there is overcoming in this life, which of course sounds familiar. And it means one who tarries, waits, that you're able to overcome all assaults, all trials, because nothing will overwhelm me, nothing will destroy me, nothing will separate me from the love of God. And this, of course, is what the Apostle Paul was giving out in Romans 7 and Romans 8. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Here again is the same idea. And the vision of God is the source of patience. Our patience is that vision. That's the source of what it's all about. As you are waiting, that is what clarifies and will show more of the vision. Waiting. Now, don't try and work that one out mentally in your mind, because that doesn't make sense, does it? But that is the very means of how God gets us to see, by waiting. It's in our waiting, our tarrying, that we actually see. We learn to see. Now, only God can do all of that. Man can't do that sort of thing. The vision is the source of patience, because it gives us God's inspiration. It gives us God's power. It ministers to us through the Holy Spirit. So our waiting actually works that endurance, that inspiration, that power, everything that is needed to run the race. That is the inspiration. We draw that from the Holy Spirit. That's why many go back. That's why many can't endure. That's why they don't stay with it, because they're not seeing God. They haven't the vision. They're looking at other things. And there are myriads of things that we can look at, one of which is the biggest one, looking at self instead of God. And that is where, of course, the cross comes in. The cross is the good news. It's a central part of the gospel, because it keeps your eyes looking to self. You've got to look to God, who inspires us, who strengthens us, who keeps us in this walk, i.e. the vision. Because without it, you perish. That's the whole point, you see. And it's ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. What does the book of James have to say? James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verses 7 to 9. James chapter 5, 7 to 9. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And we're in the latter rain. It's had the former. Now the latter is to be reaped and brought in. And he says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So through that patience, we establish our hearts. In other words, we grow, we wax bolder, stronger in the faith. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe that came through this morning in prophecy. I can't fully remember when I prophesied, but I've got some idea of something that came through. And then he goes on, don't grumble against one another. Don't start getting impatient and fed up. And how long is this going to take? And you said that the Lord was coming, you know, this season, and he hasn't come yet, and so on. Not that we say that, but you know where I'm coming from. And we've done it in this assembly. We've all had a grumble. Because we're impatient. What's going on? So God knows. It's such a bigger work he's doing with us. This is far, 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 far bigger. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than your trials. It's bigger than your ministry. It's certainly bigger than Full Gospel Assembly. This is what he's doing, is reaching out into eternity, forever and ever, what he's accomplishing and he's doing. And remember, we lose sight of this, but remember also that comes to mind, we are in the time of restoration. God's restoring us back to centuries of bondage, spiritually speaking. Moses endured because he had a vision of God, not because of what was right, or his own principles or prejudices, or even his consecration. It wasn't about him or how good he was. He had a vision of God. God has revealed himself to you, not on the basis of your good works or how often you pray. All of that has a place. Or how many times you attend the assembly, or your education, or your background, whatever it is. No. God chose to give you, me, Full Gospel Assembly, a vision. And it's up to us whether we stay with it and hold on to it. Because he doesn't force us. That's the point. And Moses had a vision of God. Seeing him who is invisible. And on that basis, God will save us. How much more now that we see the risen Lord Jesus Christ? They were seeing him afar off under the old covenant, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How much more now, us, as we see the Lord lifted up, high and lifted up, who lives, resides in us now, ever revealing and pointing us to the Father. And not only that, but he's the high priest who intercedes and supplicates for us. How much more? So a saint who has the vision of God isn't devoted to some cause or issue. He or she is devoted to God himself. And that's why this isn't religion. Because religion will always get you to be devoted, a slave to the system, to man's organization and control. That's why Peter said to the ministers, don't lord it over the flock, but lead and steer them gently. And yet religion controls. It's political. Holds on to church history and traditions and so on. That's not a vision. The vision is God himself. That is the goal. Now, when you have got God and you are looking to him, then he starts to reveal yet more to the vision. He will start to reveal his end time plans and purposes and what he has, which is all part of this great vision, which is of God himself. It has to come from the source of God. And so often we've found, even in the faith camp and those who believe they're overcomers, that they think their vision is faith. They think their vision is claiming things. New house, new car. They relate that as the vision. It's not. If that's what you see of the deeper life, you have seen wrong. You won't endure in that. And that's why so many have gone back. Who gave the deeper life in the spirit? God. The source. Him. And that's what he's bringing us to. All of this tells me one thing, that God is revealing relationship to us. Why? Because the bride makes herself ready as a result of it. That's why. Because he's the source. You always know what you have the vision of God for because of the life and inspiration that comes from it. If you have the vision, which is God, you know you have the source because you know the life that is drawn from that. The healing, the deliverance, the salvation, that life that you draw from God, that you know in yourself that you can't have that, attain to that. So these are all signs. We're inspired. We're quickened that it all comes from it. And so the blessings and trials come to you energized because it comes from him. Even though our trials that we go through are in a sense energized because we know, oh gosh, this hurts. It really does. But God's going to bring me through because he's faithful. He doesn't leave me in that state. Even in the trials, he's still preserving, quickening in us. No, he doesn't take us out of it, but he's holding and sustaining us through that. Why? Because of the vision you have seen God himself, seeing him who is invisible. That's the whole walk of faith. That's how man has walked with God ever since man fell. It's no different. No different. And that's why he permits our trials. Our trials work that patience, that endurance. Those trials bring the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Those trials balance us as believers. There is nothing like a trial when we go through, when it's done that work, that creates a balance in the hands of Almighty God. There's so much Christianity or professing Christendom that's so, so imbalanced. That's way, way off. But they don't see it unless God has mercy. And so the power to overcome, to endure, is because we see him. If you are seeing him and your eyes are fixed on him today, that is a clear sign you will come through. That is your guarantee. That is everything to you, that whatever befalls me, because my eyes are on him, I see the vision, it's God himself, I will come through. That is, and that is ministered to us. That's quickened to us. That's confirmed to us. So it's not just some idea. It's not just something even that I'm saying. It's that word I use, energized to you by the Spirit. These should be your experiences if we're coming through. It's interesting that Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days. And there he endured that wilderness trial and temptation. He would never be able to go into that wilderness if he did not have a vision of God, his Father. No way. God wouldn't even allow him to go in there. But because his eyes were fixed upon the Father, he had a vision, he was able to go through that wilderness experience. And of course, it was supernatural. Nobody can survive 40 days without water or food. So God was preserving, God was quickening him. God was ultimately taking him into an experience that very, very few go into. I hear people, they go on these fasts for 40 days and whatever it is, and I'm not knocking that, I'm not saying, but you look at the fruit at the end of it, you look to what is produced, and to be quite frank, very little has convinced me over the years. And yet people, you know, oh, how could somebody do that? How can they go through, you know, these fasts? And there are genuine, don't get me wrong. But I don't see an awful lot. And when you scratch the surface, you'll find then that things aren't right. They don't really have a vision. They're not really seeing God. They don't know where they're going. They're floating around and so on. And so often it's emotions. Did you know emotions will get you to fast for 40 days? The human spirit, the human side of man is pretty good. It's amazing how man can survive under conditions. You know, history is full of stories that will absolutely amaze you, but it isn't necessarily of God. But Jesus was led, we're told, in the power of the Spirit into the wilderness. And after, when God had finished and the work that was done, he came out with the power, the dunamis of the Spirit. He was empowered, ready then. What was he ready to take on? The powers of darkness. See? And that is ultimately what God's working with Full Gospel Assembly. He's working with us so that we are trained, we're coming to a place where we're able to take on the powers of darkness for the last day. And we're moving more and more toward that, i.e. the giants of the land. This is part of the vision. As the vision is of God, so God will unveil and show more, because we know that this isn't a time for the church to rest on her laurels, yet most are. This is a time of preparation. So it's not only a time of restoration, but it's also preparation in that time of restoration. Preparing what? To meet the enemy, the powers of darkness. And you are being trained this very moment, this very second, in your trials, what you are going through. This is all training us against the powers of darkness. Now, that shouldn't be rocket science. That shouldn't knock you off your seat with shock. That should tell you, well, praise God, it's starting to make sense now what I'm going through. See? Because God is going to have a remnant who will overcome the powers of darkness. That's why Satan hates this. This is why he tries to abort this. This is why he tries to keep people away. This is why he tries like he does. This is why he spreads lies and gossip about us. We're disliked by most of Christendom around the area. Did you know that? Just a little handful. Meeting here this morning. Yeah, my. They know about us. Quite extraordinary, isn't it? I wonder why. I wonder why. But Jesus endured the wilderness temptations because he saw his Father. Completely consumed and drawing his power and strength from him and him alone. You will never overcome the powers of darkness but by the one who has overcome, who resides and lives in you. Back in Habakkuk, it gives us the idea that we reach out for more than we already have, in a sense, grasped. Though we, that tarries, wait for it. So this vision that we have, which is of God, looking to God himself, it's also an idea that we're actually grasping. But what we're grasping and reaching out for is even bigger than we even thought. Now, again, that shouldn't be unusual, because we're dealing with God, whereas there's no beginning, no end. The trouble is, we just don't know how big this is. We've all got some rough ideas what we think it is or how big it is, but we don't. But our faith is going to grasp however big this is, and I'm going to tell you it is big. But our faith just grasps out for that, even though it may tarry. And that's why it's a bad, bad sign to be spiritually satisfied. Christians who are satisfied, smug with their walk, have no vision. They don't. Let's turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Well, not read very often, I know. Psalm 116, verses 12, 13. 116, verses 12, 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will take the cup of salvation. Jesus experienced that. Just before he was betrayed, he shared the bread and the cup of suffering. He knew what that cup was going to cost him, but it's left to us as a reminder of his death until he comes. And so likewise, the vision, we see clearly, we take the cup of that vision and what it entails, what is in it, you see? That is why we go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God. The cup is pointing to what Christ was to do, and so the vision that we see is pointing to what is to come. Even though it may tarry, yet wait for it. But so often we look to ourselves, don't we? And we think that we have it. I'm satisfied and I can endure because I've arrived. I can do it. I will make it to the end. I can overcome. I can overcome the enemy, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Have you ever seen that smug way of sadly many professing Christians, and a lot of them who come out of these big charismania churches, this sort of smug, we can overcome, we'll take the devil, we'll go out and we'll convert the country and everything. You just see it, and they're defeated before they even go out. They have no idea what they are facing, what they are seeing, and that is why most of it, after a few years, dissolves and go back. Nothing happens, because they have no vision. They have no vision. Paul had something to say on this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And so he goes on. So he says, I haven't made it yet, but I press on. I have a vision. I have a call. I have a ministry that is to finish. And so it's the same with us. We have a call, we have a ministry, and it is to be finished before the Lord comes for us. And if it means that we come each week, it means we continue listening to this word, it means that we do whatever we know is right to do, this is what God wants. And we shouldn't question it. He knows what he's doing. But if we're going to just live on experiences, we have little of that inspiration, that vision, that power to enable us. Because if you're just looking for experiences and you're going to live on those experiences, and every time an experience comes or a blessing comes, oh, we're all quickened and all happy and bouncy and everything for the Lord, you know. Goes on here sadly. But I see, praise God, yeah, I'm all excited. It's nice to get excited about the Lord, but boy, if your faith is just in that, it ain't going to last. That's the point. And then, because you're up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what it does to you. It plays with you. That's what it does, and the enemy uses it. Playing on the emotions. I've seen it, Christians are like on a roller coaster, up one minute, down the next, and up, and so forth. It's because there's no vision. They're not drawing from the life of God, sustaining and keeping. There's hindrances. We so often hinder God's power and presence, sustaining to keep us. You do it. We do it. We stop it. And one of the ways, the mind, the thinking. That is why the Lord's delivering us. He's closing these doors into the mind. Because every time Satan can get a hold in the mind, you are being robbed of the power of God, keeping your eyes looking to him. Satan knows, and yet most Christians are so blind to it. But God wants us awake to that. But if you're just going to live on experiences, they ain't going to last, sadly. And experience has its place, don't get me wrong. If we're experiencing of God, and we should be, then praise God for it. But don't keep looking for those experiences, because they cause you to look back. There are so many charismatics are looking back to past revivals. That's all they've got to live on, because they're not receiving anything today, now. We need to hear what the Spirit says today. We need fresh manna today. Yesterday's is no good. Why keep going back to it? I know there are some in this walk who will only listen to teachings of the past that came out from Faith Assembly. They won't listen to anything else. They're held. They're not having manna today. That is food that was finished. It has a place, of course it does. But what about eating today, now? And they fail to see it. They don't want it. Oh, it's not like it used to be. It was much better in those days. Oh, there was more of us, and the joy of the Lord. You go to the meetings, you could feel God's presence, and oh boy, it was just, you know, it's not like that today. There's so many talk like that. Failing to understand, well, what is God saying today? Failing to understand, you are growing up. Put away those dollies. Put away your train set. Don't need it anymore. Doesn't inspire you. I was only talking about this, funny enough. I was giving a lecture and demonstration last week to an art society. And I said to them, I said, how many of you artists have got books and books in your shelves which you bought years ago, art books, you know, you're inspired by and whatever. I said, how many of you look at them now? And most of them said, we don't. I said, why don't you? because I said, you are seeing differently now than how you saw 10 years ago. You paint differently now than you did 10 years ago. Now, that's okay with artist students, and they're all agreeing and nodding their head and everything. Why is it that Christians don't see that spiritually? That we move on. It is the most healthiest thing to move on with God and to keep up with him. That is what the vision is all about. We might not like it sometimes. Sometimes this journey isn't like we thought it would be or whatever. But the fact is, I am with him. I am hearing him today. My eyes are looking to him. And that's all that matters. And the rest will take care of itself. And whatever we hear. You see? And so this vision that we have is more than just a mere experience. And if we don't deal with that, it's just going to cause us to procrastinate, just to relax and, oh well, the Lord knows. We'll meet it tomorrow and everything. Of course, tomorrow never comes. We're alive today, now, this moment, this second. My life is about this second, this moment, now with God. And every time I'm talking, it's all history, it's passing, it's going. But it's today, now, this moment. That's all that matters. That's all that counts. Let it go. Let the past go. All that matters is now, this moment, today, looking to Christ, the author, finisher of my faith. That's the realm you walk in. The now, the present, as Christians. Yet why is it we hold on to all this baggage of the past that the blood of Jesus has dealt with and cast away as far as the east is to the west? That's why we have, as I bring it to a close now, this is why we have to bring it back to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is why faith is the central part of our teaching. We never lose sight of it. Faith is now, today, this moment. All the while I have breath, I'm able to praise God and lift holy hands in his presence and to say amen. And to praise him and worship him, that is what my life, my walk is about. Everything will grow from that. Ministry, blessings, provisions, healing, deliverance, everything. I live today, now, with the ever-present God at this moment. That is what faith is about. Seeing him who is invisible. Till it falls.
Jesus is the washed up.